Welcome to We Are the Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are the Watchers.
Tom! Episode 42 is what we're up to. Welcome to We Are the Watchers.
It's the last of the lost numbers.
Yeah. Was the answer to life in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy 42 as
it
well?
It was, yes.
This number is obviously a very important one. Therefore, this episode will be thoroughly important.
Six sevens, 42.
Yeah, exactly. And people always say sevens are a lucky number.
Mm-hmm. And we got six of them.
We are rolling in sevens. We should go to the casino after this.
Nah, you could do that.
Yeah, nah.
This is scum.
I like my money too much. I'm not going to win.
I don't want to be beaten up by burly bouncers.
That's not always on the list of things to do, is it?
Not normally.
No.
There are times.
There are times. And then other times you go, no, I'm not in a video game. Therefore, I'm not going to want to get beaten up.
Do you reckon some people have a bit of a fetish for that?
Oh, there would be. Do you remember a few years ago there was the series of videos of women that would work out and they would like crush watermelons with their thighs?
Mm-hmm.
I think those people that watch that,
yes,
are probably people that have a bit of a fetish.
Bit of a submissive streak.
Exactly, exactly. Mm. And speaking of not necessarily fetishes, but very niche videos,
yes.
I've been watching something.
Okay.
And we'll get to that a little bit later on.
Well, I have no idea what that could be if we're talking about
tantalizing.
Burly.
Kind of weird, actually, but we'll get to it. We'll also get to our Fear the Walking Dead discussion at the end. We'll pop that behind spoilers. And we've got a quiz. This one I've had to do a fair bit of research for and then realised you'll be fine.
Okay.
You'll get it.
Sure.
A lot of news, though, this week.
Yeah, what you got?
Well, I saw a photograph of a guy and I'm like, I recognise him. He's probably just an actor who does stuff. But he's an Aussie actor called Damon Herriman.
Yes.
Now, okay, I'm a bit worried about him and typecasting because he has already filmed scenes as Charles Manson for the upcoming season of David Fincher's Netflix series Mindhunter, right?
Yes.
It's also just been announced that he was signed to play Charles Manson in Quentin Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Okay, so the Tarantino one is set in 1969, that era, and then Mindhunter is in the 80s. So I guess he's
paroling. Face tatting.
That's right.
He got a lot of face tats in that time.
So as Damon, I assume that he's trying to, you know, get heaps of work. You're in Hollywood. You just want to keep going, right?
Yeah. Well, he's been on TV show the last couple of years.
That's right.
He does very well for himself.
So you don't think it's a problem? Do you think his agent would have gone, it's another Charles Manson role, but it's Quentin Tarantino?
Look, I think there might have been an element of that, but I think if you've got the chance to work on a David Fincher TV show and then follow that up with a Tarantino film, even if you're playing the same character,
you're going to go for it?
You're going to go for it, because that's just more and more doors opening.
Yeah, absolutely. So good on him, and I'm excited to see how he goes as two separate Charleses.
Yeah, maybe.
Charleses.
It's strange that he filmed them in that order. Maybe if he'd filmed them the other way, he could have just kept the hair growing.
Yes. But no, now he has to go back and
sort it out.
Look younger.
Yeah.
Yeah. What have you got?
So there's a potential Birds of Prey TV show. Now, for those not in the know, Birds of Prey is a DC superhero team comprised of superheroines.
Mm-hmm. That's a hard word. I'm not going to say that one.
It is. Generally, it's led by either Batgirl or Black Canary. And for the role of Black Canary, they are chasing Lady Gaga.
Oh, no way.
Yes, they're going hard. She's got a lot of Oscar buzz about her at the moment.
Yes, there has been a fair bit of talk because the Venice Film Festival has been on. And I think this is sort of, it seems to me like this is where we're starting to get the beginning of the Oscar buzz.
Yes. Yeah, this is generally where it starts to ramp up.
And her name has been thrown out. Of course, it's not just now that she's been known for doing acting. I mean, she was in American Horror Story.
Yes.
Rather successfully as well. Nobody sort of went, oh, Lady Gaga's acting. She's like Madonna.
Yeah, but no one really seems to cop that on Horror Story. Everyone gets, oh, they've done a good job. Yeah, and they've done well.
True. That's a good point. Good on them.
Yeah, they've really melded into that ensemble.
So what do you reckon the chances of getting Lady Gaga for this role?
Look, I think if it had been a week ago, pre-Venice, much stronger. Mm. Apparently, look, they're pushing for her for Black Canary, which makes sense. Black Canary's power is she has an ultrasonic voice, so she can scream real loud and shatter windows and all this sort of stuff. So she'd be great for that. There's also talk that they may be going for her for Huntress. Now, Huntress is really, really convoluted, but the simplest explanation I can give is Batman's daughter from an alternate universe.
Great. I know that there's been a few alternate universes in the Batman world, so very much universe. So. Well, alternate, you know what I mean.
Yes. She's a lawyer by day. Mm-hmm. She did pop up on Arrow for a little bit at the very beginning, but they haven't really gone back there too much, I imagine, because they've been working on Birds of Prey in the background, and they've said that character's off limits.
Yeah, fair enough. Obviously, a different... That whoever, do you know, do you remember who played that?
No.
Whoever it was, just whatever, we're going to get a bigger name.
Yep.
Yeah, fair enough. That should be huge. I'm trying to think of other singers who they could potentially get who are not sort of busy doing albums and stuff.
Steve from Smash Mouth, he seems pretty free.
Yeah, he's very free. What about what was her name? She was the one hit wonder. Jennifer Page?
Yeah, Jennifer Crush.
Crush, yeah.
Sorry, yeah, Jennifer
just
Page.
Just a little crush.
That would be good.
She could do it.
Yeah. Jewel.
Jewel could definitely do it. Alanis Morissette. I know that she's sort of been busy with the Jagged Little Pill musical, but surely by the time they want to start filming, she could do it.
Well, look.
She screamed in Dogma.
Yes, and I think she'd be a little more appropriate as well because Black Canary is meant to be a bit of a rocker.
Right.
So Gaga will be good.
Gaga would be great.
I could see that working and it would definitely give a lot of high profile to the show.
Oh, yeah.
But... You know, I could also see Hayley Williams from Paramore.
Yeah,
she's got some serious chops
on her. She does. She's tiny too. What's those Lady Gaga?
Yeah.
Tiny people, huge voices.
Mm. Ariana Grande, she's got a voice in her.
She is very good at all those impersonations as well.
Yes.
Her doing Celine Dion, amazing.
Very strong.
Very, very strong. Mm. That sounds cool.
Yeah.
And hopefully now that we've done that, they'll be able to at least have some backup ideas for when Lady Gaga says, no, I've got my Oscar, I'm moving forward.
Yeah. Look, I think if it was a one-season deal, she'd be more likely to sign up.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's what they want to do with it.
No, it's a full-time thing.
They said it couldn't be done, but I just watched them put a baby in the corner. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Speaking of, I don't think this is going to be full-time because it is a Netflix thing.
Yes.
Barb from Stranger Things lives on, sort of. In that Netflix has done another young adult romantic comedy.
All right.
Which they've been doing a few of recently.
Sure.
It's coming out this Friday, actually, called Sierra Burgess is a Loser. Now,
Sierra
is Barb, Barb is Sierra, I should say. A high school student who, it's kind of like Cyrano, a.k.a. Roxanne. Do you remember that movie Roxanne with Steve Martin and Daryl Hannah?
Sure, I remember the poster.
Yeah, with his long nose.
Yes.
Yeah, it's basically that. So it's catfishing.
Okay.
You know, her and the cool girl team up to try and get this one guy.
Oh.
I know, right? And the one guy played the love interest in To All the Boys I've Loved Before, which was the last Netflix sort of romantic comedy for young adults that became popular.
So they're kind of doing a Disney thing of getting a bit of a stable of people that are, you know, young actors that they can chuck in a 13 Reasons Why or
exactly.
All this sort of stuff.
Exactly. So I assume that they have their different genres, Netflix, and they sort of will continue along those lines until people stop watching them.
Sure.
Go on to the next. Speaking of next, more news stories, please.
One that's got me quite excited.
Mm.
And there's virtually nothing more known than this. But it was announced that there is a new movie coming from some of the Always Sunny in Philadelphia writers.
Yeah.
The third Looney Tunes film. Wile E. Coyote versus Acme. So Wile E. Coyote gets the shits with the fact that these contraptions never work.
Constantly not working.
So they're going to have Wile E. Coyote try and take down one of the world's largest corporations.
Yes, please.
Amazing.
This is a great little twist on a story. I wonder, surely there's got to be a cameo of Roadrunner.
I'm sure he will be in there throughout.
Yeah.
Maybe not as a main character, not the usual adversarial setup, but... Man, just the story potentials for that. And you can, they're going to get some real slimy people to play corporation guys.
Oh, yeah.
I could see a Will Arnett in that.
Will Arnett would be perfect. And I can see all the Acme. I'm sort of picturing the scenes of Acme. It'd be an enormous building, you know, towering over everything. So the perspective is really off. And Wile E. Coyote's standing at the door trying to get in. And it's all grey and black. And all the people that are working there are just in grey and black suits and whatnot. Very strong visuals already in my head.
You know, there's going to be a bit where he tries to fight someone on the 16th floor and they fly out the window. And that other person drops instantly. And he does that hover thing and look at the camera, holds up a sign. Well, and falls.
Yeah.
I don't know. I could really see it going down like a RoboCop vibe of like that really dodgy corporation and the you know, standing up against the man.
Yeah.
So it could be very, very clever and subversive. It could go the other way and could be a really silly kids film.
It's the Goliath. I don't know. I also, I simply because it's Wile E. Coyote and it's a story that, I mean, when was Roadrunner out? Like 60s? Yeah. So you've got these generations of people who have grown up with it who, I assume they want them to go and buy tickets.
Yep.
You would assume that they're going to try and throw a bit of adult and kids stuff in there.
Look, I'm hoping that they throw in some of the 60s style, like the original style.
Yeah,
maybe
too.
The film starts with a short or
that'd
something
be nice.
Like that. You've got to have some of that 90s love, so there needs to be a bit of Space Jam or your, you know, the Animaniacs.
Love
Looney
Animaniacs.
Toonie babies, what are they called?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about those guys. I was not big on those.
Oh, I was.
Really?
Oh, right age. I was
fair enough.
My wheelhouse. You know, there's all these different eras of Looney Tunes that they can touch upon to bring in there. But if they get a bit of Roger Rabbit vibe of it being really a film for adults that works for kids.
Because the kids, the adult jokes just go over kids' heads. But that whole animated genre now is so good at that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I have absolutely no qualms that it's going to be perfect.
So the thing that's most interesting for me of how they'll go about this is that Wile E. Coyote's mute.
True.
So how do you have a main character in a film who doesn't speak? Like, is it all going to be signposts? Can we hear his thoughts?
Yeah, but perhaps he's got the devil and the angel on the shoulder sort of narration.
Get an internal monologue going. Or maybe one of the Acme things he gets is a vocoder.
Oh, that's great.
So he can talk.
Kind of like the dog collar in Up.
Yeah. I could... Like, it's being written by the Always Sunny guys. If they wrote it in Charlie's voice, Charlie Day, I think that would be pretty perfect. Whether
that'd
or not he
good.
Gets involved and does the... I'd
be happy.
I could, you know. I mean, look, he's almost the Tasmanian devil, Charlie, but I could see them going the Wile E. Coyote route instead.
If it works, you can expect the Tasmanian devil in the next one, in the sequel, for sure.
Please don't disturb my friend. He's dead. Tired. You're listening to We Are the Watchers.
I saw that there's a Joaquin Phoenix and John C. Reilly movie that has been making the rounds at Venice Film Festival.
Yes, Western.
Yeah, a Western. And I watched a trailer and I thought, I think this might work.
Yeah.
It looks all right. So they're brothers. They're called the Sisters Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not great guys.
Didn't look that way, did it?
They show you at the beginning that they're really not nice and they're bang up for a bit of violence. But it's got a slight comedic feel to it as well. It's sort of an adventure. You've got Gyllenhaal, or is it Gyllenhaal? I never remember how to pronounce his name.
Just don't call him late for dinner.
Yeah, right, okay. And also Riz Ahmed is in it as well. So Jake Gyllenhaal is a bounty hunter. These two guys are after Riz Ahmed. The brothers are after Riz Ahmed, and it's coming out later this month, and I'm kind of interested to watch it.
John C. Reilly's got a bit of a strong end of year ahead between that, and he's got the Sherlock and Watson, or Holmes and Watson coming out at Christmas.
For me, John C. Reilly's one of those actors that you know immediately, but then you start to think back on the stuff that he's been in, and you go, ooh. That's a solid amount of back catalogue.
There's not too many actors that can, you know, play with the Coens or play with really dramatic guys and then run across Hollywood the same day and go and film a film with Will Ferrell.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, if you've never seen Check It Out with Dr. Steve Brule, it was a spin-off from Tim and Eric, awesome show, great job.
No.
He plays a, we'll say special, doctor
okay.
who goes and investigates real life situations and can't talk properly.
Right.
It's him doing that character.
Almost a bit like, I can't remember the character's name in The Green Wing. Doctor with the moustache who was so awkward in every situation. It's just, don't you and I'll, you'll and then he just walks away.
Say we're going to find out all these things about for your health. We'll get out of there and find a situation. Let's go, gang. It's that sort of thing. He can't pronounce R.
He shouldn't have
and
to.
And swaps letters around all the time. So anytime he's got to read, he's made it very clear that the character's meant to be dyslexic.
Very clever, though.
It's so many levels of, like, it requires an impeccable actor to pull this off.
Yeah.
But it's the dumbest thing ever. That's why it works so well.
Perfect. What other news stories did you come across?
So a very interesting listening that I had about 2 days ago. There's a podcast called The Drinkin' Bros.
I've heard of these guys.
Yeah, so there's some Hollywood producers, actors, this sort of stuff, and they get together, have a bit of a round table over drinks. Well, they did a special episode where they chatted with Clayne Crawford, who you may recall got fired from Lethal Weapon earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was his first time going on record talking about what happened. And he grew
up.
It's
about 6 months, I guess.
Yeah. I think early May is when everything really shook out.
Really? God, it feels like ages ago.
It had been coming for a while. Mm. But it was very interesting hearing his side of the story because he'd pretty much stayed mum. And I believe it's this week, it might be next week, is when Lethal Weapon Season 3 kicks off with Stifler.
We never bother saying his real name.
Oh, I got a lot of love for Sean William Scott.
But everybody knows him as Stifler.
Oh, see, I know him better. I remember him better from The Rundown, which in the States is called Welcome to the Jungle, the film with The Rock, where they're finding gold in
South
America.
I didn't see that movie, but I remember the trailers.
It's pretty good. It's very cheesy. It's Christopher Walken is a great villain.
Perfect. I'm going to have to check it out.
But it was very, very interesting hearing him sort of talk through the experience of getting the boot. He never had a call or any contact from anyone at Warner Brothers. He found out through social media and Deadline.
Oh, really?
That's pretty harsh.
Yeah, that's a bit ouch.
Yes. And just kind of opened up on there'd been a lot of he said, she said, and that sort of stuff. And obviously we're only hearing his side of the story there. But his side of the story was not the official side of the story.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
I wonder if that happens all the time, though. You know, to varying levels and extents. Obviously, he was the main star. He was the main character. Really? Well, I mean, I know you had, you know, Mr. Wyan. Which one? Which
Damon
Wyan? Damon. I always forget that. Which one's which. But at the same time, like, he was Mel Gibson's character.
Yes, and he talked a lot about that, of when they formed the show, that neither he nor Damon ended up making the show that had been pitched to them.
Interesting.
And that Damon Wayans basically checked out from episode 2 of season 1 and said, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be doing this.
Hmm.
So he then spent much time doing rewrites and, you know, punching up things and constantly adding and this sort of stuff, and that created further fracture between them. So there's all this stuff that I didn't know about. Like, I'd heard that some crew had been pushed off after the split. 70 crew members.
Jeez.
There was such a strong Damon camp, Clayne Crane.
I wonder what the numbers are in people employed to create and produce a television show of this size. I mean, if 70 is a number that you're throwing out there, I mean, you can only assume that that's half.
I reckon that would be half.
It's a lot of people. Because
he was saying VFX people, makeup people.
Oh, really?
Basically, anyone that dealt with him on a day-to-day was gone.
That's rough.
Yes.
That's really rough.
So it was interesting hearing about that, and as well of his concerns around safety, because they'd had a very solid safety crew. A lot of them were given the flick, and there's been a lot of reports of season 3 that people are getting injured.
Oh, right, okay.
Yes. So I have a feeling that's not the end of the story, that we will hear more. I'm also very interested to hear how things shake out over the next week or two
Show itself, yeah.
As to, it does feel like the heart has been ripped out, like, no one's tuning into that show to watch Damon Wayans.
TV shows, sometimes this happens to TV shows, where you've got a solid couple of seasons and then suddenly a big change happens and people just can't get on board with it anymore. This could be the last season.
Well, as he pointed out, he said, you know, if you... A Roseanne, you can swap a Becky.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
If you changed who the Fresh Prince was, would anyone still keep watching?
Mm-mm.
That was kind of his point.
So good point.
I'm interested to see how things shake
they
out.
They changed mothers in that.
Yes, he mentioned that as well. Yeah.
It's an interesting conversation. So the podcast he was on is called...
Drinking Bros.
Yeah,
and it's about an hour and a half. You got to wade through 12 minutes of ads at the beginning.
Gee, that's a long time.
It's a long... But they got them all out of the way at once. So I get where...
Fair enough.
They're all live reads, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But it was very interesting because these two had obviously been friends for 20, 25 years. Mm. Like he'd gone in and was just chatting with his mate and wanted to, he said, you're not going to edit me. You're not going to spin this or anything. I just want to get my...
Fantastic. So this is the purest explanation you can possibly get.
And he's very candid.
Good.
A lot of swears.
Not really.
Mature audience, Odin.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
All right. Any other news stories?
Friday, the Spider-Man PlayStation game comes out. It's a big deal.
Oh, dear. You're going to be busy.
I am going to be busy. I saw that they'd taken over a New York subway train.
I saw that too. Looked great.
Very cool.
It looked really good. Also know that there are Spider-Man themed PlayStation Pros, I assume, that are being sold. I'm not getting one, but they look cool.
Yeah.
They look really nice.
Yeah.
Are you going to get it first off, or are you going to wait a little bit and see how people react? They seem to have been reacting really well ever since E3.
I'll be there at 9 a.m. on
Friday.
Yeah,
great. Fantastic.
I love Spider-Man games anyway, but a Spider-Man game that's in the style of an Arkham Asylum, apparently it's a good 20-plus hours of gameplay.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's I remember with Uncharted 4 they were saying, it's too long. I think it was about that length. I didn't think so. I wanted more.
Well, Arkham Asylum, I think, was about 14, so it should be a little bit more than that. And that may be with extra DLC stories and stuff like that. And yeah, I don't think there's much multiplayer focus.
No, I haven't heard anything about it. Because everybody would want to be Spider-Man.
Well, I could see them doing something very cool. There was a storyline called Spider-Verse,
uh-huh,
where they had Spider-Men and women from all different alternate universes come together to fight back against these spider vampires things that were hunting them all.
So it's almost like a horde sort of, like a horde thing.
And I could see them doing a bit of that, but maybe not till late in the year for when Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse comes out, which the more I see of that, the more jaw-dropping everything is. Oh, it looks so good.
Isn't it exciting when that happens, though?
Nicolas Cage playing Spider-Man Noir, who's a really angry, like, Punisher Spider-Man from the 20s.
You couldn't ask for more.
It's so good.
Get some Nicolas Cage in there. Actually, the next couple of months are going to be huge for people who like playing games, because you've got the latest Tomb Raider, Shadow of the Tomb Raider coming out. You've got, obviously, Spider-Man, which I think is the biggest hyped one until it gets to...
Oh, yeah, that's...
Well, yeah, you've got the big one, which is Red Dead Redemption 2.
That's what I was going to say. You've got that. And Destiny 2 has an expansion coming this week.
Expansion. A little bit further on, you've got Battlefield 2, I think they're calling it. It's a World War 2 one.
Yeah.
Not many people are pumped about that, though.
Yeah.
But you've got another Call of Duty as well.
Yeah.
That's a Black Ops. There's another big one in there as well.
Lego DC Supervillains game.
That'll be popular.
First Lego game focused on the villains.
That'll be really fun. And I know you're a big fan of those.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to get that for sure.
Really amped for that. We've already announced like 6 different expansions to tie in with the next couple of films.
Oh, great. So the game, you know, once you get the base game, you'll be able to hop back into it.
Yeah, it lives on for a while.
I like that. Mm. We'll have a quiz a little bit later on and be talking about Fear the Walking Dead in our spoiler section. So if you haven't watched the episode, don't worry. We'll give you plenty of warning. I've been doing a fair bit of watching this week.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched a show called Going Places with Ernie Dingo.
Ernie?
I watched it because it's free on SBS On Demand, and it's a travel show. Kind of like those travel shows. Relaxes me. I thought, I'll see how Ernie Dingo goes with it. He was down in Tasmania checking out Cradle Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you where he kicks off on a helicopter tour ride? That looked amazing.
Yeah.
I'm sure it would be expensive, but it looked like it was worth it.
Okay.
You get to go and check out all these places that you either just 100% cannot get to, or you can see like a little trail, a little bushwalk trail. Mm-hmm. And that's the only way you can get into this area. And I'm not a big bushwalker, but it appeared to be a couple of trails that he went on, there were some amazing scenes. Just this, just scenic views where you go, what is this? Are we in, like, I don't know, some Lord of the Rings movie? Very picturesque.
Were they hunting for Tasmanian tigers?
No, but they checked out a whole heap of Tasmanian devils who were making hilarious sounds whilst being cuddled. They were like, and the guy's going, no, 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 that's just her saying hello. And I'm just being patted, looking really sort of docile and happy with life. But the noises coming out of Tasmanian devils are the noises that you know Tasmanian devils make, but they're not the, apparently they're not being aggressive. That's just how they speak.
Nothing about them screams cuddly.
No, but this one was very happy.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
How nice.
I then wanted to pat one. Not enough to make a huge effort, but still, you know, I have vague interest in it.
You should get involved in a Tasmanian devil breeding scheme.
I should. When I was working in Dubbo, where I worked was very closely tied to the zoo.
Sure.
And they had a big breeding scheme there, and we were allowed to go and check it out, like a private tour. So cool. They have... Wow. So the Western Plains Taronga Zoo is huge, right, as you know. In fact, it's huge what you can go and see, but behind all of the enclosures, the public enclosures, there's that's only a quarter pretty much of what they've got.
Mm-hmm.
Got all these breeding things that they can you know, swap the animals in and out, so that if, you know, that cheetah's not feeling it today, don't worry, you just hang out in your own quiet enclosure in the back. Really cool place. And I love the fact that zoos are now conservationists, really. That's what they are. And because the zoos like Taronga Western Plains were so heavily on board with this Tasmanian devil conservation, they were in serious trouble a few years ago.
Yeah. Well, the government set up some incentive, I think it was called Devil's Ark or something along those lines.
I think so.
And for every breeding pair of Tasmanian devils you had in your zoo, $10,000 a year. So incentive. A lot of places that didn't have devils before then suddenly jumped on board the craze, and they've really bolstered the numbers over the last probably 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, it's not been long at all. And what the people that Ernie Dingo was speaking to kind of felt like Tasmania itself, not just the government but the people, like everything, are really on board with protecting and making what they've got in terms of, you know, their natural beauty, conserving that and making it as pristine as they possibly can. They don't want to sort of bulldoze everything. It was really nice. It was a feel-good travel show that just firmly cemented in my head once again that I have to go to Tasmania. Everybody says, oh, you got to go to Tasmania. It's gorgeous.
It's pretty good. I went to, I think it's the MoMA? I don't know.
Yeah. The museum, the art museum there.
Yeah, they got a weird sculpted vagina room.
That's a thing, is it?
Yeah, I stood in this room and there was probably 500, maybe 600 different molds of vaginas hanging on the wall.
That reminds me of a Sex and the City episode where Charlotte was worked in an art gallery, and there was a guy, an artist, who was exhibiting his work, and she was asked to model for him.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you choose Charlotte because hilarity ensued. Yeah, but Tasmania, want to go there.
They have, I can't even remember, maybe Monteith or something, but someone down there makes a cherry cider.
And is it?
Woohoo.
Really?
Yeah. So it feels like dumping grenadine into a normal cider. It was pretty powerful.
I am on board with that, though.
Oh, all of the energy.
What have you been watching?
So I mentioned last week this show Scaled.
Mm.
I'm really digging this show. And I thought it felt very Tanked.
Which is not a problem for you because you love Tanked.
I love Tanked. It's on the same network. I think some of the same people were involved with putting it together, and it feels like it might be on until Tanked comes. Which,
that's good.
I would love both. That would make an epic doubleheader. But
Tanked
I'm really
must
okay.
be soon.
Look, I think it is, but they tend to do two and a half seasons a year. Tanked pumps out a lot of shows. They only do 10 episodes a season. They pump out a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I can get why they'd want to look for something that's similar.
Similar but different.
Yeah. So last week's episode was they built a Mayan temple for a family that had several different types of frogs. Including,
I love it.
Including a lot of poison dart frogs.
Ooh.
And they talked a great deal about using the venom.
Mm-hmm.
And all the sweaty, mucousy, whatever it is, dipping it on arrowheads.
That's what they did.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool. And then this week they did two different builds. One was for a young lady who, if I look in my crystal ball, will probably be a old crazy cat lady one day.
Okay, great. Just like the Simpsons.
Yes. Yep. She had three different ball pythons.
Oh, yeah.
And she wanted a magical, potentially Disney-themed enclosure, one for each. And she explained that their personalities, that one was like Ursula from The Little Mermaid.
Okay.
And one was like Snow White.
They're very different.
And one was like Tarzan.
You probably couldn't have them all in the same enclosure then with personalities like that. Mm-mm.
Well, they built this amazing castle with three enclosures in it. The middle one looked like it was underwater and they had a bubbling effect on the back window of it and everything. Cool. So like air bubbles were popping up the whole time. Awesome. Stuff. One of them was jungle themed and the other one, pythons need hiding holes. Uh-huh. So they built a hiding hole that looked just like the glass case from Sleeping Beauty.
Oh, nice.
And put Snow White's apple inside.
Yeah, I was going to ask
if there
was some
apples. So the snake would curl around the apple. And I think they might have even put a heating rod inside the apple. So this snake wraps
it's drawn
around
to it.
It looked amazing.
That would be cool. A snake, an apple, like there's all these, there are layers of references going on
exactly.
there.
Exactly. And the other one that was very cool was a family that have got, I'm going to say 30 or 40 different types of reptiles in their basement. And one of them, they had a basilisk lizard, which is also known as the Jesus lizard because it can spread its toes and run fast enough to walk on water.
Oh, I know that one.
Yes.
That's so cool.
So they believe they're the only person in the state that has that particular reptile.
Yeah, right.
And they wanted to build a good enclosure. They're also massive sci-fi enthusiasts. So they got them to build an alien inspired, like Alien the film.
That's so cool.
So it looked like like you were looking out a spaceship window, and then the inside they wanted like plants that were themed around Avatar.
Oh yeah, because so, Avatar, with some problems that it had, it was gorgeous.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so this, in the inside of the tank, has all this bioluminescent plants.
Nice.
And dark lights. So yes. When they turn the lights off, everything looks crazy in there.
That's gorgeous.
It was awesome. So if you're at all interested in this type of stuff, I cannot recommend this show enough because you've seen plenty of cat shows or dog shows, horse shows, farm animals. Tanked has been going for years now. Birds, all this sort of stuff. But no one's really done anything with reptiles. And so much of this show is these guys using the opportunity to educate.
That's what I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, so the build aspect is only part of it. So much as this is why we're doing the things we do.
It sounds like a good show that the whole family can sit down maybe after dinner and just sit and watch an episode, because kids, adults alike, will get something out of it.
Yeah, it's surprisingly educational.
Mm.
And they also have a mascot, which is this like bearded dragon that lost a leg when it was a baby.
Aww.
And it wears hats. All the time, wears hats, doesn't run around anywhere, missing leg, just sits on the table during their meetings. He's their mascot.
Does it wear like a baseball cap? Is it
a cowboy? They got a cowboy hat, a top hat.
It mixes it up.
This lizard, I'd have seen 10, 12 different hats so far.
They're going to run out of hats.
Apparently this lizard loves hats. I don't think they will run out of hats because they make everything in the shop.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So they can just... I'm waiting for a sombrero. A lizard in sombrero screams Gore Verbinski movie.
So they'll show the lizard with the sombrero as they're organizing some sort of rattlesnake enclosure.
Yeah, rattlesnakes
for
or a killer,
they'd be down there,
killer
wouldn't
monster.
They? Yeah.
Yeah.
Surely. That sounds like a great show.
Hey, Zolta, I want my money back. You're listening to We Are the Watchers.
A show that I'm not sure is great. I saw it on Netflix, Insatiable.
Mm.
Once again, I don't know what it is today, but sort of a young adult show. It felt like such a 1980s teen movie.
Sure.
That they don't make anymore because it feels a bit wrong.
She's
a little bit overweight, not even that much, right? It's kind of like the Barb Stranger Things show I was talking about.
Sure.
Ah, she's a little bit overweight. All the cool girls and everybody makes fun of her because she's slightly overweight. So much so that they just, on her locker, they graffiti, fatso or whatever it was on there. And she's really sad and she's got no friends except for one quirky person. And then she has this altercation with somebody out the front of a shop, and her jaw breaks. She gets wired shut. She comes back all of a sudden because wired shut. She couldn't eat as much, and now she's thin and gorgeous. Let's make her a beauty pageant contestant.
So it feels like the nexus point between like a She's All That and Shallow Hal.
Yes, Shallow Hal, exactly. It just, I don't know, it wasn't funny enough.
Sure, some people are going to learn some lessons.
People are going to learn lessons, but at the same time, the overall lesson that they're teaching you as an audience member is that if you're fat, just stop eating and then you become gorgeous and you'll become really popular.
Mm.
It's got Lisa Milano in it as a mother. I don't know, she was there. I kind of like her. On Twitter, she's quite cool. But on this show, I'm not sure how many seasons it's going to get.
Did it feel like she was going for a bit of a Winona gig?
A little bit, except she was the mother of another person.
Right.
She was still there, but I don't know.
You seem very torn about this.
I don't feel the need to go back and watch any more of it, and I'm not sure if parents were to see that their younger kids were watching it and understand the main message that was being beamed out, if they would be on board with it.
Sure.
Anyway, there's so many other shows that you can watch, including...
Or this week on Most Expensivest, 2 Chainz took a look at retirement.
I'd be on board with that. I always say I want to retire. I would never get bored. I've always got stuff I need to do.
I know you throw that out there, but you do actually talk about those plans. I can recall 2 conversations.
You've got so many plans.
Yes. Yeah, so what to happen when you've got to stop dealing with this shit?
Yeah.
So he went to a retirement village where the penthouse is $13,000 US per month, and it was baller. 4-course meals every meal.
My goodness.
Mm-hmm. By like a legit chef.
So how many people live in this penthouse?
Well, they've got a waiting list that's currently 3 or 4 years booked out ahead.
Goodness.
You can't go and stay for a month or two like that.
You're there until you're no longer with us.
You're checked in, or until your checks don't clear.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of one or the other.
Fair enough.
But it looked like every fancy country club that's kicked Adam Sandler out of a golf tournament.
Yes.
That's what this looked like.
Where was it? I mean, it sounds Florida right now.
I think it was in Miami.
Because
apparently like 89-90% of Floridians are retirees.
There's a reason Golden Girls was made. And there's a reason why Golden Girls was popular. And I think it's carried on. So people who have no time for Wisconsin snow or something, they're just going straight down. Yeah.
So that they're doing more and more wild stuff on Most Expensive.
It's great, though.
Yeah. I mean, was genuinely interested.
And that's a part of the world you'd never know would have existed unless you saw that episode.
No. And they had a lot of fun with it. The guy who... I don't know if he was the concierge or the owner or what, but the guy who was in charge of looking after the needs of the elderly and running the place, he was a little bit robotic. So as the show likes to do, the editor really started messing with this guy and put in little robotic noises for every time moved, like little whirring and this sort of stuff. And yeah, by the end of the episode, it was suggesting that this guy was actually like a host, like a Westworld host, and that underneath this giant retirement village, there was a whole network of people being programmed by Anthony Hopkins.
That's amazing.
It really just took a weird left turn.
Somebody was given liberties.
The editor on this show is the other star. Mm. Like, you've got 2 Chainz, you've got the topics, and then whoever's editing this show just has so much fun.
Oh, I want to watch that episode now.
They flash up when you introduce someone who's going to talk you through something expensive. They flash up their name and a couple of facts about them. And this guy, one of the facts was, could be a robot. I don't know if 2 Chainz was ever involved in the conversation about this guy being robotic. It just feels like someone's gone completely rogue with the graphics and the sound effects.
Oh, that's so good. A producer was away that week, so things got slipped through.
I don't know. I think the producers might be the ones pushing it because it's happening more and more.
But do you feel like it's giving the show its own character?
Yeah, so much so. Like, it's taking what is a pretty general format. Like, you know, if we're honest about it, it's not really any different to... What was that show back in the day? Not the Young and the Restless. No,
Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. Hosted by, I think his name was Robin somebody. He passed away recently.
Who has been on the show with 2 Chainz.
Oh, great.
2 Chainz went and hung out at his house. This sort of stuff. It feels like a modern update on that, but remixed by YouTube shenanigans.
Yes. I love it.
So there's only a few more episodes left this season, but it's already been renewed for another.
Yes, you did say, I think last week or the week before, that it was going to get picked up.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
I watched a show, so it's by, it must be a Netflix and BuzzFeed.
What a conglomeration.
Just, yeah, I don't know, a huge mix of production. And each episode, like, I don't even think I saw one that was over 20 minutes long, between 15, 20 minutes long. And it's, it follows a different BuzzFeed journalist.
Yes.
In a different BuzzFeed part of the world. So right. I think the first one was Sacramento. There was one in, she was English, but she was in New York. And then there was one in Germany.
Did either of them have a hat?
There were no hats and none of them said press on them, so I was a bit disappointed about that.
It's just so many of the BuzzFeed people here in Australia wear a jaunty hat.
Oh, yes, I know what you mean. I haven't seen the Australian ones yet. I've watched 3 episodes, okay. So I'm sure I'll get to it.
Sure.
But the first episode, and this is what I was talking about, the weird fetish thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Internet whisperers, otherwise known as ASMR. Autonomous sensory meridian response.
You'd be good at that.
I would love it, right?
Give us a bit.
So they just do really nice voices like this.
And what sort of things do they talk about?
They'll talk about really soothing things.
Right.
A couple of the others looked like they were going to go down a slightly seedier route. But the big popular lady, she'll not only do soothing voices, but she comes up with these soothing sounds. So she'll have, a steamer on, and she'll go, look at the sound, and she'll get a makeup brush and she'll brush it over the microphones just for that sound. And it's just this whole new world. And the BuzzFeed journalist was like, I have no idea what this is. I'm not sure if I like it or if I hate it. And so she was kind of trying to figure out who the audience is and what they're getting out of it. And it seemed like a lot of people, she spoke to a few regular watchers. They do it. They watch it to settle down at night. That's why the whispering is, because people are watching it as they're going to sleep. But also, it's very soothing. And for people who have high stress, anxiety, one woman even said it helped her with her depression, because it just calms people down so much so that's gone. So if they're feeling a little stressful, or if the anxiety is starting, you know, that feeling you get in your chest, they watch a couple of the videos and it eases it a lot. So, you know, these people are helping. She also went to this, I guess you would call it an ASMR spa in, of course, New York, where you can get everything.
Of course.
Where they do it for you in real life. She said she wasn't on board with that. It felt a bit too much. In fact, I think she said something like, in order to get out of it what they want you to get out of it, you had to give too much of yourself away.
Right, okay.
And she wasn't, you know, not feeling that.
Fair.
There were a couple of other interesting episodes. There was one about black survivalists, so, you know, doomsday preppers, but just African-Americans. And they focused mainly on one woman who was, I don't think she was around in Hurricane Katrina, but seeing how so many people, African-American people down there were suddenly left with nothing, that sort of spurred her to start prepping and becoming self-sufficient for if or when that day happens.
Sure.
That was an interesting one. And then there was the episode from Germany was about people, intersex people, who are born with both genders, and how that affects them when it comes to the point where the parents have to decide which sex they're going to be.
Yep.
And in Germany, at least at the time of filming this, there was a law or legislation that was going to forbid those operations unless it was life-threatening. They were going to forbid it. And they said, I think it was Malta, is the only country in the world that does not allow those operations so that you leave it to the individual as mm-hmm. they grow up to decide which gender they want to identify as. It was very interesting. They spoke to a few people who were intersex. And I just like the fact that these episodes are 15, 20 minutes long, completely, you know, sometimes topics that you had no idea existed. And you get that bite-size amount. I'm sure they're putting it on their YouTube channels as well. And then you walk away going, I know something.
Yeah. Education.
Very educational. I've learnt it stuff, and I do need to get back to my doomsday prepping, I've realised.
You have let it go.
I've let it go a fair bit. Yeah, exactly. But I'm going to get back on board because the zombies will be coming, right?
Mm-hmm.
They absolutely will be. What have you been watching?
So I've watched a lot of trailers. I'm going to burn through a lot
Come
of
these. Come on, let's do this.
Because a lot of these are awful. So consider
really?
This of me saving you some time.
It's a warning.
Yep. I saw one for a show called The Cool Kids. It doesn't look that way. It's a retirement village comedy.
Oh.
It looks kind of like a lame old person Sunny in Philadelphia.
They want it to be Sunny in Philadelphia mixed with Golden Girls, maybe?
Yeah, but I don't know. It's from Fox, so they cancelled Brooklyn Nine-Nine for this shit.
Oh.
Yes. So that looks awful. There's one called Happy Together, which stars Damon Wayans Jr. as a financial manager for a pop star who's kind of like Harry Styles, who comes to stay with their family and upends their life.
What's going on? And by the way, is this 1987?
Oh, boy. one called The Neighborhood, which stars Cedric the Entertainer.
Jeez.
As a curmudgeonly neighbor annoyed by the young white family who just moved in next door.
Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
Mm-hmm. There's one called Rel, which I'll check out. It's Lil Rel Howery from Get Out and the Carmichael Show.
Mm-hmm.
He's a recently divorced dad getting back into the life. And the bit that got me most excited when I saw his dad is played by Sinbad.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. So I don't think he's been particularly busy for a while now.
No. Maybe he's still trying to find those toys.
I think he's still at it, trying to find... Was it? It's not Action Man. Turbo Man. One called The Rookie, which stars Nathan Fillion as a rookie LAPD cop.
That'll get traction. 100%. Yeah. People love that sort of stuff.
And people love him.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't care about that show. That sounds bullshit.
People will watch it. I tell you right now, I already can see the audience.
I didn't last an episode of Castle. I know a lot of people love Castle.
Okay.
More power to you
yep.
if you do. Not my bag.
Not your cup of tea.
No, I don't really like it when there's a person who shouldn't be a policeman hanging out with a policeman. That's not what I look for in a show.
Yeah, you kind of want competent people
yep.
doing that sort of thing. Maybe about two of them.
Yeah. Do your thing.
Yeah.
There was one called A Million Little Things, which mm-hmm. does look very good and is already getting a lot of hype as potential This Is Us for this year.
Okay.
It stars eight friends. One of them commits suicide, and then the rest are all brought much closer together.
Okay.
People in it. Ron Livingston, isn't it, from Office Space?
Mm-hmm.
James Roday, who is the main guy in Psych that I love.
Yes.
And Romany Malco, who was on Weeds for several years, and you'd know him when you see him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know who he is.
Yes.
He's been doing stuff. It's Weeds was not the last thing
no,
that he's been
in.
Yeah, he's been quite busy recently. Oh, good.
So,
solid cast.
They've got a very solid cast, and they're, you know, swinging for the fences with this one. It looks pretty big budget, and like they're putting a lot
nice.
Of effort.
Yeah, good.
So I've been rewatching. Well, not rewatching. I didn't stick with it, but I've been watching Hawaii Five-0.
Yes, because we were talking about that last week because yes. It's been going on for so long and we've got Magnum P.I.
That's right, potentially. And I finally saw a Magnum P.I. trailer.
And?
It looks pretty darn good.
Good, good.
Everyone that you'd want, Rick's there. You know, Higgins is a lady now, a young British lady who does...
Oh, no.
Does not look like she takes any of his guff. I don't even know why you're here. I'm a great security agent and this sort of stuff. So that's got potential.
That's perfect.
I'm looking forward to Magnum. And as I say, watching Hawaii Five-0 has got me amped for it. The two of them are going to cross.
And there will
sure.
be, yeah, okay. I was going to say there was talk about that.
So. Oh, they're filming at the same production studios and everything over
yeah,
in
fair
Hawaii.
Enough. That'll happen then.
It'll definitely happen. And then I also saw the trailer for something that I got a bit choked up to, which is I Am Paul Walker.
Oh,
documentary
really?
About Paul Walker. It looks like a lot of his family's involved.
Jeez,
sort of
how many years has that been?
Five
now?
Years now.
Far out.
Yep.
That's full on.
Yes.
That was a huge shock. to the world when that happened.
Yeah.
And the fact that then they had to finish that Fast and the Furious without him, without the main character.
Yep.
They used his brother, didn't they?
Yeah, and then they mapped his face on and this sort of stuff to finish off. The send-off that he gets at the end of Fast and Furious 7 is...
Full on?
It's perfect, but I just saw it in cinema twice and both times every guy cried.
Yeah.
It was just one of those moments that get you.
Yeah, because you're not only saying goodbye to the actor, but the character as well that you've been watching
since the very beginning. I mean, Vin Diesel, there's a reason why he keeps playing robots and trees and stuff. He's not a great emoter.
Mm.
He's who you want as someone very stalwart and serious, and he completely let his guard down in that moment. And it was like, wow.
It felt real.
Yeah.
It probably was real.
I'm quite excited for this film. Excited's not the right word, but I'm really looking forward to watching this film.
To delving in and learning more about him.
Mm.
That's a lot of watching.
That's a lot of watching.
Let's get into the quiz.
I'd like a palate cleanse.
Yeah, me too, before we get into Fear. So we were talking about the Sisters Brothers movie trailer, and I thought, all right, let's have a look at the actors, the four actors, and see if you can name three of their movies. I reckon it'll be quite easy.
All right.
Because sometimes I feel the quizzes are a little too hard. This one I thought we can just power through.
Okay, so let's start with Riz Ahmed, and we can go for, Nightcrawler, Venom, and Four Lions.
Oh, see, I had Rogue One.
Oh, there you go.
And funnily enough, I had the last season of Girls because he's the baby daddy.
Mm.
All right, what about Jake Gyllenhaal?
Jake Gyllenhaal is potentially going to be in Spider-Man 2 as Mysterio. Again, in Nightcrawler. And we'll go with Bubble Boy.
There's so many to choose from.
I think Bubble Boy might have been one of his very first.
One of his very, very first ones. Pre-Donnie Darko. Yeah, yeah. Brokeback Mountain. I had Prince of Persia in there as well.
Sure. Had a go?
He did. What about John C. Reilly? We were talking about his stuff earlier.
Okay, I'm going to start with Dewey Cox.
Oh, yes.
Because I love that
film. It's a great movie. The one I saw him in recently, which is old, was Never Been Kissed. He was Drew Barrymore's boss. Yeah, the newspaper.
He's been in so much good stuff. We'll go with Step Brothers.
Yeah, of course.
I love that movie.
It's a great movie. What about the other? Do you remember the other Will Ferrell movie?
Dodgeball? No, not Dodgeball. Talladega Nights.
Mm-hmm, the driving one, I guess you would call it.
NASCAR.
And Boogie Nights.
Sure.
With Mark Wahlberg. Only name I had in my head was Donnie Wahlberg. Then I'm like, no, it's the wrong one.
Fucking Donnie. It's
the wrong one. All right, Joaquin Phoenix.
Joaquin Phoenix. He's a bit of a black hole for me. So we'll go with her.
Yeah.
She was great.
It was a great movie.
I'm not here. You're not here.
Can't remember.
Not really here or something.
He was sort of, here but
the
really.
The one where he tried to do a Borat.
Yeah, that was, people just thought he was strange. Okay, what about the one from the late 80s, maybe early 90s? It was about families. You had Keanu Reeves in it. You had Diane Wiest, is that her name? West? Yeah, Parenthood. Yeah. And he was in Walk the Line. He was Johnny Cash.
Sure, that's the other one I was thinking.
And of course, Gladiator, he was in as well. Susan.
And he was going to be Doctor Strange.
That didn't happen.
Didn't
happen at all. Well done. See, told you, a nice easy one. Palate cleanser, like you said. Let's get into Fear.
Spoiler alert. In 3, 2, 1. You have been warned.
Let's do it.
So we finally got to see a couple of the other characters after the storm, and we've started to have some more connections again, which is great.
Thankfully. Get them back together.
That new evil person's very evil.
Isn't she? She's kind of like a serial killer.
Yeah. I'm just going to put some really bad, dodgy water in these water bottles.
Do you reckon that's what made Al sick?
Absolutely. Because you saw her drink. She opened a bottle.
Yep.
And you saw her drink it, and you did not see, I want to call her Jenna Elfman then. I will. But you didn't see her drink it, and then suddenly she started to get sick. I didn't feel danger that we were going to lose her, though.
No.
I didn't feel that at all.
Not, no. don't know enough about her yet.
Bit brutal about the poor guy, though, at the very end.
Yeah, Quinn, I think his name was. I got excited because Quinn, that's Jaws. Bring it on.
I also thought, oh, cool, this is a new guy. They've got the beer guy. They've got this new guy. They're starting to build a new community and gone.
Rip that Band-Aid off.
Does she look like she's got dirt on her face?
She does.
I couldn't figure out if it was dirt or some sort of, I don't know, like she'd been poisoned by, I don't know, some Ukrainian bad guy. Do you remember that politician years ago? I think he was from the Ukraine and he got poisoned and his whole face went like that.
Yep.
That's what I thought it looked like.
I reckon she's probably the most realistic out of the look of all the characters. Because you think there's so many of them look got blow-dried hair and all this sort of stuff.
Very nice hair.
Where she looks like she hasn't washed in weeks.
She can't
that's
be bothered.
Probably more likely what the real world's like in that situation.
True. She's now got the...
She got the SWAT van.
She's got the SWAT van. She's got Quinn. She's ditched the trucker guy. And I reckon she's just going to follow them and cause havoc.
She's got a magical radio that works better than anyone else's.
Yeah, how'd she manage to get that one?
Ah.
I used to be obsessed with walkie-talkies when I was a kid. I just thought it was the way of the future. Obviously, then you started to realise that the internet was a thing and you were allowed to go on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went, oh, who needs a walkie-talkie when you got the internet? But you need a walkie-talkie when it's the end of the world.
That's right.
If I'm doomsday prepping, I should go and buy some and solar batteries.
NBN not working out.
No, MVN is that's turned off. I remember reading a zombie book years ago. I can't even remember what it was called. But obviously there was no electricity or anything, but the car still had GPS because the satellites are still in the sky.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. So maybe the trucker guys would have figured that out as well, but it's obviously not a rule in Fear the Walking Dead.
So I'm surprised we've still never crossed to a satellite on either show.
Never. They're still there.
Mm-hmm. There was a... I'm trying to remember if it was... I might be remembering wrong. It might be Why the Last Man. But there was one storyline where... in Why the Last Man, where there's one man left on Earth, there's another man in a satellite.
Pretending to be George Clooney. He didn't really die.
I won't say any more as to whether or not he gets off the satellite.
Okay.
But, yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
Intrigued. I didn't see a trailer at the end of this episode, so I do not know what happens next.
I saw something that...
Will we see Strand?
Strand and Dory are up to their old hijinks.
Crazy
interesting
kids.
Thing about this episode, it was directed by Colman Domingo, who plays Strand, and is the first time on either Walking Dead show that one of the actors has been given the opportunity to direct.
It's a good little fact.
Which, behind the scenes talk, blah, blah, blah. When an actor gets to direct, it's for two reasons. One, it's because they're of a particular caliber and they want to ensure either that their pay bracket stays at a certain level or that that actor doesn't look elsewhere.
Okay.
And I have a feeling that if you're losing Madison and Nick in the same season, that he might be like, this is not the show that I thought it was.
Mm.
And they said, well, why don't you direct one? On the other hand, it could be that he wants his DGA, which is the Directors Guild of America. You direct one thing, you're in that, and there's some pretty sweet perks that come from it.
Okay. So it could be a bit of everything.
Or it could just be him wanting to stretch his creative muscles.
I thought it looked great. It told the story really well. It kept jumping back, back and forth to all the characters involved in seemingly what felt like a very balanced way.
Yeah, and there were some really creative shots.
There were some
very cool, and I'm getting more and more used to the muted color tone.
I actually really like it.
Yeah,
I think it works really well. All right, well, I think we're probably done with that.
I think so.
And done with the whole entire episode of
my
this.
My goodness, number 42 was easy.
Yeah, that flowed very well. We did a lot of watching, I think, probably helped. We'll be back next week. If you do have any watching suggestions, just get in contact with us anywhere that you possibly can. You've heard the guy tell you where and us where.
There's potentially a lot of new stuff dropping in time for next week's episode, so stay tuned. The next few weeks is where the good gear ramps up.
Our lists are going to get pretty long. Tom, thank you very much.
Oh, it's been my pleasure.